I'll order a shit ton of stuff and you will have to weed through what you want.
You're impossible.
Prove to me you're fucking staying. I say again.
I'll cash my check and shop.
My lips curve. Good. Claim the job. That works. She scowls.
That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
We're getting there, but take the credit card anyway.
No, I'm not taking it.
If you have to run, use this card. Leave me a trail. I'll use it to track you. Realization washes over her face, and she reaches for it.
Thank you.
She sticks it in her purse that's sitting on the bench beside us. And it has $20,000 on it, if you need it for anything.
I don't need your money, Asher.
Her hand comes down on my chest.
But I do need you. So quickly. I don't know how I already need you this much, and I don't want you to be okay with me calling him my husband. I was just trying to protect you. I really need you to be safe.
I kiss her, tongue licking into her mouth. And when she reaches under my shirt, her palms soft and cool against my hot skin, I'm about 10 seconds from snapping. You cannot leave. You stay here.
I'm not leaving.
When I'm gone, Sierra, do not go to the bar. Do not go to the grocery store. Do not go anywhere alone. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Say it. You will not.
I won't. I promise.
I kiss her again and lift her, carrying her to the bed. We both go down on the mattress. And when we should be undressed and fucking, that's not what happens. Compliments of the doorbell.
The pizza,
she says. The pizza, I repeat. But neither of us move. Her hand settles on my cheek.
Asher.
Yes, sweetheart.
I'm really starving.
I laugh and kiss her hand. Me too. I roll her over and rest on my elbows above her. You can be dessert.
You can be dessert,
she says. And when I roll off of her, I'm smiling. I head down the stairs, the scent of her perfume clinging to my skin, and that damn sweet floral scent gets to me. It makes me want to lick every part of her body. And I will, over and over and over again, because she's already my fucking woman. I've never called any woman my woman, but she is. That's just how it is. She came. She became. She is. On some level, she already knows it. On every level, Devin Marks is about to find that out, too. Chapter 30. Asher. As much as I want to set the pizza on the bed, strip Sierra naked, and just savor every inch of her, I don't. She is more to me than sex. I want to know her inside and out. And right now, with me leaving and leaving her here, I need her to know that. And so we sit on the bed, eating pizza. And I make sure we talk about everything but monsters and killers. Movies. We both love superheroes. Books. We both love to read. Christmas.
What do you do for Christmas?
She asks. I was overseas for about 5 years. But since I've been back, the Walker women come over here and put up a tree. She smiles.
I like them. I like that they do that for you.
I have to buy a baby shower gift and Christmas gifts. You have to help me with all of the above.
I'd like that,
she says.
The baby shower is soon. If I do go shopping, do you want me to just grab something?
Yes, please grab something.
What is your budget?
Make it good. Spend whatever you want to do that. What about your Christmas, Sierra?
My mother and father made the holidays fun. They went big. Decorations, food. It was fun. After my father died, it was never the same.
When did he die?
The year I met Devin. Some professionals, like myself, might say I was looking for a male figure in my life. And it contributed to why I was susceptible to him.
She waves a hand.
I don't want to go there. Your mother, do you remember her?
Yes, I do. I remember her being good and sweet, always working for charity organizations and having me help. I remember my father yelling at her, talking down to her. And yet she'd get up the next morning and try to make someone in need smile. Unfortunately for you, I'm more like my father than my mother.
That's not true, Asher. You are nothing like your father.
I can be. Not to you, Sierra, but when I want to hurt someone, I'm good at it. And I want to hurt Devin Marks. I'm not going to feel regret when I do, either. Which means you might wake up one day and see me as just another version of Devin, but I'm still going to do what I'm going to do on this. I shut the empty pizza box, and I stand up. I need to pack a bag. I turn and walk toward the bathroom. Before I ever get in the door, Sierra is in front of me, her hand on my chest.
You're nothing like him. You're nothing like your father.
You don't know that part of me.
I do,
she assures me.
I feel it in you. I know that you can be hard, I know that you can kill, but that's not the same as living for those things.
What the hell do you think I did in the SEALs, Sierra? I killed. I lived for the next mission that would set me up to kill again.
You take that part of yourself and choose how you use it, and you use it to help people that can't do what you do. That is not Devin. That is not your father. You are amazing. Harvard, SEALs, singer. I heard you sing. You are amazing.
A singer who watched his friend overdose and went to Harvard because I let my father bully me into it.
You were young, and yet you still excelled. You still did your own thing. I saw you with him. You could have his money, but you have all you have because of you. I love that about you.
She takes my hand and pulls my arm forward.
I want to know what every single one of these tattoos means to you, Asher.
For the first time in my life, I want someone to know what they mean. For the first time in my life, I wonder if I'm worthy, if I'm wrong. For the first time in my life, rather than saying fuck you to my damn father, I want more. I want her. I'm all yours, Sierra. What are you going to do with me?
I can think of a lot of things,
she says.
Right now, though, there is this.
She lowers herself to her knees, and just like that, I'm rock hard, adrenaline surging through my body. My good intentions to leave sex out of tonight's equation have gone right out the damn window. She strokes my cock through my jeans. Oh, fuck, I need to be honorable here. Sierra. She unzips my pants and looks up at me.
You can say please, or you can say stop. Your call.
Please. If you expect any man to be foolish enough to say stop, I'm here to tell you that. She pulls my cock out of my pants, and I breathe out. Okay, did I say please? She laughs.
Twice now.
Please again. This time when she laughs, she does it while closing her lips around my erection, her tongue stroking the underside, and then pretty much everywhere she can reach. And then she is sucking me, and sucking me some more, and I really think this might be love. She's the perfect woman, really damn perfect, as proven by the fact that she won't stop when I try to get her to stop. She sucks me all the way through the quake of my body, and I do what any good man should do. When it's over, I strip us both naked and lay her on the bed where I thank her. I kiss her nipples. I lick them. Then I lick and kiss a path all the way down to her belly and beyond, until I'm suckling her clit, stroking a finger through the wet, slick core of her body. And I make damn sure that I don't stop licking and stroking her until she quakes just as hard and good as I did. Then, and only then, do I move up her body and kiss her while settling beside her, my cock hard between her legs. I'm going to remember you on my lips. Every minute I'm gone, I promise. Before pressing inside her for what becomes a slow sway of our bodies. I make love to her, and I can't say I've ever made love to a woman. I fuck, that's what I do, but that is not what this is. A long time later, she falls asleep, naked and pressed to my side, while I lay awake, replaying every touch we'd shared, my protectiveness of her, even possessiveness, growing with each passing moment. That damn recording she'd played for us all is now in my mind, my plans for Devin Marks expanding, just like my feelings for Sierra. When I finally slip into a light sleep, it's 2 a.m. My alarm goes off at 3. I ease Sierra off of me, and she snuggles deeper under the covers. By 3:30, I've showered, dressed, and I sit down on the edge of the bed and caress her cheek. Sierra. She blinks awake and sits up, her hair a wild mess I made right about the time I was kissing her nipples and then her belly.
You're already leaving?
Soon. She throws off the covers, exposing her naked body and appearing comfortable enough not to care.
I want to walk you out.
She scoots off the bed and hurries across the room, her naked backside ensuring I'll leave her this morning hard as a rock and guaranteed to have sweet dreams on the plane. I pull on the thin black leather jacket I've set on the bed, and then grab the small duffel I've packed. I'll meet you downstairs, Sierra, I call out, because if I follow her, we'll both end up naked, and Luke will be waiting on me. Heading out of the bedroom, I walk down the hallway to my office, flipping on the light as I enter. Returning to my thinking spot, I open the drawer inside the table and grab the burner phone there, dialing into the voice system to discover 4 replies. That makes 7 of us on board, counting me, Luke, and Adam. And the 7 of us can do a lot to fuck up Devin Marks's world. I stick the phone in the pocket of my jacket and make my way back to the door. I reach the stairs and start down them to find Sierra already downstairs and standing at the coffee pot. She turns at my footsteps and abandons her cup, rounding the island to meet me on the other side. I set my bag down on a stool, and we step to each other.
Can we just go back upstairs and back to bed together?
She asks, her hand flattening on my chest.
I don't want you to go. I have a really bad feeling.
I stroke a strand of hair behind her ear. I'll be back soon. I have Luke with me and our SEAL mate Adam is joining us in Dallas. My hands settle on her hips. Jacob is coming over to stay with you. He'll take you to the Walker offices to work on the juju file around 10.
Do I really need him here? Isn't the building secure?
I'm just being cautious, I say. And Kara wanted to be here, but she needs to be at your apartment early to make a showing in case anyone is watching. I thought Jacob was watching Juju, or Terence, or both. We have Juju and Terence well covered. I trust Jacob, and he's going to be in the Juju meeting today anyway, so this makes sense this morning. But tonight, I need you to stay with Julie. She'll be alone, and Jacob lives in the building.
I'd rather stay at home, or, I mean, here, at your home.
Her gaze drops to my chest. I cup her face and tilt her gaze to mine. This is where you live now, Sierra. I want you here. I want you to want to be here. I don't know how many ways I can say that to you.
For now. I'm staying here for now. Right now, you're riding the high of being a hero. I'm riding the high of you. We don't know where this will land when it's over.
I don't expect the punch to the chest those words deliver, but the line she is drawing is clear. Right, I say. I guess we don't. I guess we'll see. I'm going to give you your freedom. Then you can decide where you want to be. The doorbell rings, and I release her. I need to go. I reach for my bag and head to the door.
Asher?
I stop in my tracks, and when I turn around, she's in front of me, hugging me and pushing to her toes.
I had a moment of panic over how fast we're going and how hard I think I could fall for you. He can kill me. You can hurt me. I'm sorry. I don't want to leave, but if you decide you want me to leave...
I cup her head. You belong with me now. You'll see. I kiss her. Don't leave. Don't go anywhere alone. Promise me.
I promise. Please call me when you can.
I will. Call me if you need me, but don't worry if I don't answer. It only means that I'll call you the minute I safely can. You have an army here to protect you. I release her and walk to the door, opening it and greeting Jacob, who is stoic and cold, which makes him the perfect man to place with another man's woman. Take care of her, I say, before walking down the hallway and stepping into the elevator. The door shut, and I've left Sierra in my apartment with another man while I go after the man who is technically her fucking husband. I head downstairs, and Luke's Escalade is pulled up to the door of the apartment. I climb inside and shut the door, and my mind replays that recording of Devin Marks plotting Sierra's killing all over again. I think of Kyle and Myla. And the way Alvarez will always haunt them, dead or alive. There was no body, no proof that he's dead, and thus they can have no real peace, no closure. I won't let that happen to me and Sierra. I will not only end this and Devin Marks decisively, but with absolute closure.
Chapter 31. Sierra. Suddenly, I'm standing in Asher's apartment with a strange man. Jacob enters the apartment and locks up. I walk to the kitchen and grab my coffee cup, which is apparently still empty. I set it back down and turn to find him joining me. He's in a blue t-shirt and dark blue jeans. He's big. A Mr. G.I. Joe, with short hair and a big muscular body. The kind of guy that once would have been my thing, but he's not now. Asher and his long blonde hair, tattoos, and piercing green eyes is my kind of man.
Hello, ma'am.
Hello, Jacob. Sorry you had to come here this early.
There are those who should pay for my need to be here, but you should never apologize for being in danger.
You mean Juju should pay?
And Devin Marks. Yes, I know. I heard the tape. Luke felt I needed to know the magnitude of the threat. I'm not in his pocket. I'm not in anyone's pocket.
I study him for several beats, and while I have misjudged a few people in the past, I believe Blake was right. I was allowing my expectations to affect what I saw in people, Now, I expect evil, and yet I still believe Jacob.
You should get some rest. He says, we need to leave here at about 9:30 for the meeting at the office.
It's going to be hard to rest. I'm worried about him.
Asher is smart and dangerous.
So I'm told.
He'll be fine. Devin Marks will not be.
He says those words without inflection in his voice, but somehow they are fierce. You need to sleep, too. I saw a spare bedroom upstairs.
I'll catch some sleep on the couch.
I was going to leave, I say. I would have, to protect Asher and all of you. But it's too late now. You're too involved.
We don't need protection. We need information and a plan, which hopefully your documentation will deliver. And for the record, I'm not worried about you going out of the apartment. I'm down here to give a gift to anyone who tries to come in it.
A sharpshooter gift? He gives a nod of his head.
Yes, ma'am. The best gift you can give an asshole who intends to do you harm. I understand I'm taking you to the range to help you learn how to deliver a little justice yourself.
Yes, please. I turn away with a flashback of Asher saying please, and my cheeks heat. I lower my lashes and force away my obvious reaction while the warmth spreading through my body is here to stay.
You okay?
He asks. Am I okay? Well, I'm falling in love with a man I just met, like a schoolgirl, while the man I'm married to and hate wants to kill me, and soon Asher too. There's only one way to answer that. I turn and face him. I will be, when I can deliver some of that justice myself.
We'll make sure that you can.
He says, but his expression remains unchanged. You're cold. You're calculated. You protect yourself by never letting anyone get close to you.
Is that your professional opinion?
Yes, it is.
And what is Juju?
Insane, but just as smart and calculating.
Then we need to catch him. Go, get some rest.
I nod and start to turn, but stop. Part of me envies you. You can't get hurt if you never let anyone close. It was my strategy on the run.
Was?
And then Asher happened. So while part of me envies your steely wall, the other part of me hopes your version of Asher comes into your life and changes that. Good night, Jacob.
Good night, ma'am.
I stop and face him. Don't call me ma'am. I don't plan to leave anytime soon, and friends don't call friends ma'am and sir.
What would you like me to call you?
I should say Kelly. That's the new me. But that also means I accept leaving the real me behind because of Devin Marks. I don't accept it. Call me Sierra. I walk away then and hurry up the stairs, stepping into the bedroom that I now share with Asher. It smells like him. It feels like him. It's missing him. I shut the door and walk to the massive four-poster wood bed, staring down at it, thinking of the way he touched me, the way he seemed to savor me. I sit down and lower myself to the mattress. There was a time when I wanted to go back home to Denver because it was the only home I knew. Now, Asher is the only thing that feels like home, but he's not here, and that bad feeling about this trip continues to claw at me. Chapter 32. Sierra. I doze off until 6 in the morning, and that's it. I need to get up. I need to do something, and since that something can't involve Devin Marks right now, I decide that something needs to be catching Juju. The sooner I start calling people who once knew Juju, or perhaps still do, the better. I quickly shower and throw on a pair of dark blue jeans and a red t-shirt with a glittery butterfly on it. I decide red stands out too much and trade it for a black BB logo t-shirt. I do need to shop. I only have a few things that fit. I pull on lace-up flat boots and a waist-length black Burberry quilted jacket. I like the extra pockets, and it's getting cooler outside now. I quickly apply light makeup, and with my hair flat-ironed, those blonde roots are showing more than ever. My mascara is too dark to cover it, which means I need to get color today. I have so much to do that I need to get this day moving. I grab my purse and tote, the revolver in the purse, and the case and gun in the tote. I head down the stairs to find Jacob at the island, a steamy cup of coffee by his side and a computer in front of him.
You're awake,
he says, surprised. Yes, why are you awake?
Juju on the brain,
he says.
I'm going through the old bar footage for the third time, trying to find anything that might convict him.
Any luck?
No. No luck at all.
I'm all for going into the office and digging into investigating him if you are.
He stands up. You had me at Why Are You Awake? Let's go.
Just that easily, we head out and waste no time making our way to the Walker offices, which are still dark. A few minutes later, we're in the conference room, both of us with coffee cups beside us, and we begin looking for a strategy. Do you have the lists Asher made of the connections to Juju?
I do,
he says. He reaches for a MacBook sitting in front of an empty seat.
That's the computer from your apartment. Kara texted me. She left it here in case you wanted it.
A few minutes later, I have the computer fired up with a spreadsheet to match Jacob's to log my calls. We split the list and start making them. Unfortunately, not with much luck. No one is answering our calls. In hindsight, I say, evening might be the better call time. People are at work now. My cell phone rings, and I pull it from my purse to find Asher calling. Are you there?
Yes, we got a hotel near the storage facility. Is Jacob with you?
He is, I say. We're at the office.
Put me on speaker so he knows what's going on.
I look at Jacob. Asher wants to talk to both of us. He nods, and I hit the speaker button before setting the phone down on the table. Okay, I say to Asher. You're live with me and Jacob. No one else is here yet.
Hey, man,
Jacob says.
What's the word? We're in a room a few blocks from the storage facility.
Asher says again.
Any sign of trouble?
Jacob asks.
All is quiet here.
He replies.
Sierra.
Yes?
Just to be clear.
Asher says.
You got this locker before you were on anyone's radar, correct?
Oh, yes. I confirm. I was in Dallas for a few weeks, but I rented the locker the day I got there.
I checked. They have rental lockers with a monthly fee. It's one of those, correct?
Correct. I say. I've been sending a money order and verbally confirming receipt, and I used one of those Google redirect numbers.
Smart.
Asher says.
Good.
Is there something wrong? I ask.
We're just establishing the likelihood anyone might be watching the locker.
He says. Because, I say, realization hitting me. If someone was watching it, then it's already been emptied and you'd be walking into a trap.
That would be our assessment as well.
Asher says.
It would be easy to take the contents, lock it back up, and wait for someone to come for the contents.
He means, wait for me and kill me. If it's gone, that was everything I have on him, other than what's in my head.
We're going to watch the facility today,
Asher says, skipping any comfort that might now be justified.
We'll hack the computers and security system and dive into your FBI agent pal's activities. What month and day did you leave here?
July 11th, I say.
Got it,
he says.
Anything happening there with Juju? Not a damn thing,
Jacob says.
We're making calls, but we're not getting people on the line. It's still early,
he says.
I'll check in later. Pick up Sierra.
I take the call off speaker and set the phone against my ear again. I'm here.
Do not go out alone.
I frown. Why are you saying that to me again?
Just making sure.
I'm not a fool. I know the risks.
Good. Keep knowing. I'll call you later.
He ends the call just as Kara and Blake walk into the conference room. Good morning, you two, Kara says, claiming a seat to my left. Any luck with anything? Nothing, I say. What about you guys, any sign of Juju?
He's still tucked in his house,
Blake answers, sitting down next to Kara.
And we see no signs of Terrence or anyone else for that matter. If you're the target, your address is unknown.
Because Jacob stopped him from following us, I say, and blew his cover. I should just go to the bar and fill out the paperwork that I never filled out. If Juju or anyone shows up at my apartment after that, then we'll know Juju and Terrence are working together.
And that would be a no to you going to the bar,
Blake says.
You wait until Asher gets back.
We need to catch Juju, I argue. I can go during the day in broad daylight and...
Howdy-ho!
That interruption comes from the sandy-haired 30-something man that enters the room.
I have arrived.
He stops short just inside the doorway and eyes me.
Hey, I'm Smith Wesson, and don't make a gun joke. I haven't had enough coffee this morning to pretend it doesn't piss me off.
My brow furrows. Wesson?
Smith and Wesson,
he says, claiming a seat across from Blake.
My name and the gun. Is playing dumb your joke?
No, I say, I don't know guns or what this is about. He grimaces.
Right. I forgot. You're not one of us. You're an outsider.
Outsider? That word might as well be a punch in the face. I don't belong here.
Shut up, Smith.
Blake snaps, while Kara gives him a sharp look. Sierra is one of us, she says. She's the entire reason we have another angle on Juju. She looks at me. You work for us now. You're one of us, and we need you.
In other words, Blake says dryly, Smith and Wesson is badass, and Smith Wesson, the dude running his big-ass mouth, is just a little bitch.
Smith grimaces.
I worked with Rick Savage all night. He's the little bitch. The only dude on this team I hate, and you paired me with him.
He looks at me.
Sorry for being an asshole. I hope you never have to deal with Savage, but if you do, you'll get it. Aside from that, I really do want to get this prick Juju. Where are we on that?
I inhale and let out a breath, setting aside my uber-sensitivity. He wants to help. We have a killer to catch. We need to do the same thing we're doing with Juju with the victims. We need to look for ways their past connects to his past.
We have a basic outline done,
Jacob answers.
And for the record, that was a little bitch comment, but I'll send you the spreadsheet so you can work off of it. I'll work on victim backstories if everyone else can make calls.
And that's what happens. We all dig in and we all hit roadblocks. The few people we talk to just don't remember Juju. By noon, Kara and Blake leave for my place again, while Julie and Lauren take over making calls.
Let's go to the shooting range,
Jacob says.
We need a break.
He's right, I think. We do, and I gladly agree. A few minutes later, we're on the street, and he stops by the bank.
I've been instructed to make sure you deposit your check. Tell them you lost your bank card. Do you remember your bank code and social?
Yes, I memorized them. Are you sure this is safe?
Safe is making sure you look like a real person. I'll wait right here by the door.
He means he'll make sure no one has followed us thus far. I exhale, because apparently I'm holding my breath. I start to walk, and he catches my arm.
Blake is a badass at this stuff. You're good. Be calm. Be confident.
I think back to every fake moment I had with Devin Marks and nod. I can do this. I walk into the bank, and the idea that cameras are watching me, filming me, has me on edge. I cross by a cluster of desks and quickly end up with a customer service rep who is about 60 and slow. 15 minutes into the process that should take 10, I've just presented my ID when I have the sensation of being watched. I don't zip my purse back up. My hand, in fact, rests just above the revolver, but I also don't turn around. I don't want to appear obvious if I am being watched, but the sensation only grows stronger. Finally, I finish up and stand, slowly turning and scanning the customers. Two young girls, a middle-aged man with curly gray hair in profile at another desk, and a 50-ish black woman with an infectious laugh. I'm all right. There is no trouble here. But as I step outside and join Jacob, I still feel nervous. Was there anyone suspicious that you saw?
No one,
he says, glancing at my hand that's inside my purse on the gun.
Did something happen, Sierra?
No. Yes. I felt what I felt in Dallas right before I got attacked.
What does that mean?
He presses.
What did you feel?
Like I'm being watched. He studies me for a moment, and he must believe me, which I appreciate, because his hand comes down on my arm and he says,
Let's go back to the office.
No, I say, holding my ground. I don't want to lead anyone to them, and it feels like a good time to shoot a gun. He considers that a moment.
Yes, maybe it is.
He motions me forward and we start walking, with him carefully placing me between him and the wall while he stays streetside. Should we call the office and warn them?
After we're off the street,
he says.
The firing range is only 2 blocks down.
2 blocks, that feels like 10, but finally we're inside and Jacob calls the office.
Smith is going to shadow us.
I nod, and a few minutes later I'm in safety goggles and I'm in charge of a loaded weapon. I thought the idea of holding a gun capable of taking a life would bother me. It doesn't. It feels necessary. At 9 o'clock, I still haven't heard from Asher, and I'm still in the Walker offices long after everyone but Jacob and Smith have left.
Where are you sleeping tonight?
Jacob asks. Kara, Julie, and Lauren all offered me a bed, I say, thinking of the conversations I'd had with them all in between calls. Asher suggested Julie since she's alone, but I forgot to bring something to wear.
I can stay with you again if you want, he says.
That would be great. Yes, thank you.
I live in this building. I'll let everyone know and grab an overnight bag. I'll stay with Sierra while you get your bag, Smith offers.
Jacob nods, obviously trusting Smith, which means Asher trusts Smith, who turns out to be a nice guy with a fetish for crossword puzzles, a personal habit that he's put to use to help build a wall of note cards that are all about Juju and the different paths of his life. I stand up and stare at it, and he does the same. Somewhere on this wall is an answer, I say. There has to be. We've debated that point to death. Neither of us have words. We just stare at it until Smith seems to give up and looks over at me with another topic in mind.
Put my number in your phone, he says, in case you need me.
Yes, thanks. I walk to the desk and grab my phone, only to discover it's already in my directory, which means that Asher added him at some point. I already have it, I say, as my cell phone rings in my hand. I glance at the caller ID, and then at Smith. It's Asher. I'm going into the lobby to take it. I answer the line. Asher?
Yes, sweetheart. How are you?
Good, I say, heading to the door.
Don't leave the lobby,
Smith calls after me. I won't. I promise over my shoulder.
I see you met Smith,
he says as I walk down the hallway. Yes, he's been here helping on the Juju investigation all day.
He's a good guy that I should have mentioned,
he says.
Did you find out anything about Juju?
Nothing, and we've been beating this to death. Did you get into the locker?
We're not going to grab it until tomorrow night, or possibly even Wednesday morning, depending on how a few things shake down. We'll sweep in, take the files, and then head straight to the airport before we hit any trouble.
Wednesday? Really?
Maybe. We'll see, but I'll be back Wednesday no matter what. Where are you sleeping tonight?
Jacob just volunteered to stay with me. It hits me that I invited another man to stay with me. That is okay, right?
Yeah, that's okay. But are you okay?
I hesitate, and he knows.
What happened?
He asks. It's probably nothing, but I went to the bank today, and I just had this weird feeling of being watched. I'm sure it was paranoia, but I really don't want to stay here and make anyone any more of a target than I already have. He's silent a moment.
Stay close to Jacob.
I will. Of course I will.
I have to go, sweetheart. But Sierra?
Yes?
I miss the fuck out of you, woman. And that's another first for me.
I miss the fuck out of you, too.
Good. Keep missing me. Good night, Sierra.
Good night, Asher. We disconnect, and Jacob appears in the lobby.
You ready?
I just need to grab my stuff and tell Smith we're leaving. He gives an incline of his head, and I hurry to the conference room. See you tomorrow, Smith, I say, once I'm packed up. He gives me a salute, and I head back to the lobby to join Jacob. From there, it's not long before we're outside, that feeling of being watched I'd felt earlier noticeably gone. I comfort myself with the fact that if this was Dallas all over again, it wouldn't be gone. I'd probably be dead. Still, I'm relieved when we enter the building, and even more relieved when we're inside the elevator. Thanks for this, I say, glancing at Jacob, who is standing tall and ramrod straight beside me. I'm used to being alone. It's a little overwhelming to be with so many people. He cuts me a look.
Funny how alone can feel safer, isn't it?
Yes, I say, curious about how much understanding I feel like he has for that statement, but he's not going to tell me, because I am certain that alone, which means private, does feel safer to him. The elevator stops, and we quickly head down the hallway. We've just entered the apartment when Jacob's phone rings.
Smith,
he announces before taking the call. He listens a minute, that turns into a few clipped replies, and while Jacob's expression and tone are impenetrable, his voice monotone, by the time we are both standing at the island across from each other, I know something is wrong. He hangs up.
He talked to Juju's high school principal.
And?
She said that she knew Juju's father well. Juju was in the marching band. His father took all the photos for the school football games and events.
My throat goes dry. And now Juju is taking pictures of his victims, I say, which means there's a chance his father killed his mother, or maybe he was a killer himself, or a serial dater. Something is there.
Put that aside. He took your picture, Sierra.
I know. I think back to the file. I read that Juju's mother died of a heart attack. Could it have been drug-induced? Did his father kill his mother? Is that what Juju is duplicating?
That will be hell to prove, and pulling that body from the dirt will alert him that we're onto him. It needs to be saved for court.
Right. Good point. I need to go to bed. I'm exhausted.
Sierra.
I'm fine. If he's targeting me, he's not targeting someone else. I turn and walk up the stairs, then into the bedroom. I shut the door, and I wait to feel something I don't feel. I'm numb. I knew he took my photo. I knew he was targeting me. Okay, I'm not numb. I have a cold spot in my chest. I lean on the door and shut my eyes, flashing back to one killer I sat across from and how cold he'd been. Just like that spot in my chest. I pan out of breath, and I can't seem to make myself get undressed. I need to be dressed and ready for something, whatever it is. I walk to the bed, and I don't lay down until I have my semi-automatic on the nightstand. I set the revolver on the mattress, and I don't even think about turning off the lights. Chapter 33. Sierra. I drift in and out of sleep, and at some point I know I'm having a nightmare. I know the beast is in that nightmare. I try to pull myself out of it, but I just can't seem to escape my own mind. I'm back in my life with him. We're at a dinner party. I'm in an emerald green gown that we'd fought over, but I'd finally agreed to wear. A flashback to the moment I'd caved and agreed to just wear it. I'm sitting on the vanity in our bathroom in a robe.
I put the dress I want you to wear on the bed.
I look up to find Devin standing in the doorway, already in one of his $6,000 suits. Mr. Tall, dark, and good-looking to most, but no longer to me. I saw it. I say, I'm not wearing that.
Why aren't you wearing that?
My breasts will barely be covered.
Wear the dress.
I'm not wearing that.
I pay for everything, and what do you do?
He snaps in that cutting tone that tells me the nastiness is about to flow like a river.
You go to school, and you can't even wear a fucking dress for me.
I rotate in my chair. The neckline plunges to my belly button. I shout,
"This is a $50 million night. I need this deal to go down. Wear the damn dress."
My breasts are not going to make or break you.
Your tits work miracles on men, darling.
He walks over to me and pulls me to my feet, yanking open the front of the robe, his gaze raking over my nipples.
Should I suck them now, or are you going to put the damn dress on?
Anger burns through me and I start to tremble. I want to leave him right now. I hate him. I'll wear the dress.
Good girl,
he says. And damn it, he reaches down and pinches my nipple and then twists it.
Make it fast.
He releases me and leaves. The nightmare is over. It's darkness now until it's not. I fight it off again, but I'm back at the party. We sit at the long, elegant table with powerful people from around the world, all men. The women are all arm candy. China, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Cuba.
You look beautiful,
Devin says, leaning over to whisper in my ear. He means my breasts look beautiful, since my cleavage is on display and every man at the table keeps looking at my chest. I hate that you made me wear this.
I wanted to show you off. I'm the envy of everyone here.
I stab at some kind of potatoes and endure another hour at that table. Finally, we move to the den, which smells of old books, cigars, and cedar, perhaps from the bookshelves inset in the walls left and right. The guests work the room, all mingling, and I manage to detach myself from Devin to cross the thick, cream-colored rug to stand by the fireplace and chat with several of the wives. A mistake, considering they too stare at my breasts, disdain in their eyes. Awkwardly, I ease away from them and scan for Devin, only to find him missing, which allows me the excuse to exit to the gardens. I step outside and weave down one of several paths, walking toward a gazebo, when Devin's voice lifts in the air.
"Make him go away,"
he says.
"That's a tall order,"
the other man says.
"It's going to cost you."
"How much?"
$100,000 and I get to fuck your wife. 75. And if you do this right, you can fuck her 10 ways to Sunday for all I care. I can live with that deal. Can she? She'll do whatever the fuck I want. Make it look like an accident, or you'll have an accident. Carter Grant is as good as dead. He says, get me my cash.
I turn and start walking, all but running. I have to get away. I have to get away. I open my eyes and sunlight beams into the room while my cell phone buzzes against my belly. A cold spot forms in my chest. Oh, God. How did I end up back in that memory? That was 1 month before Carter Grant died of a heart attack. I glance at the caller ID and quickly answer Asher's call. Hello?
Sierra.
He breathes out. You hurt?
I just hurt. He takes fucking pictures of his victims. You were right.
We think I'm right. I say, I'm pretty sure I'm right, which means the photos of the other victims are somewhere we're missing.
Other victims? You're convinced you're the next.
I think of Carter Grant, that cold spot in my chest all about guilt. Asher, I knew what Devin was long before I left. On some level, I knew, and I have blood on my hands for it. People died. He killed them.
You are not to blame. He is, and we're going to get him.
Just like we have to get Juju.
Yes, and we will.
We, Asher, we. Please don't tell me that I can't help catch him. I can't let anyone else die.
We means you and me. We happen when I get back. Do you understand?
I do, and I'm not stupid. I need you to do this, whatever this ends up being. But I do think I need to go fill out my paperwork at the bar. Then Terrence has my address, and if Juju shows up there, Kara has a chance to catch him.
You wait until I get back.
I'll go during the day, and only with your people with me, and Juju nowhere near the bar.
I'm coming home tonight. You can go with me tomorrow. We, Sierra. You go with me. Do you understand me? Because I swear.
Whatever barbaric thing you're about to say, don't say it.
Sierra.
I'll be waiting on you when you get here.
Tonight.
He says. Good. We disconnect, and I can hear Devin's voice in my head.
She'll do whatever the fuck I want.
No, I didn't. But I did too little, too slow, in collecting data that may or may not destroy him. I can't do too little again. Chapter 34. Sierra. 45 minutes later, I'm dressed in black jeans and a black shirt with my lace-up boots, and I still haven't colored my roots. I grab my purse and tote and place my guns inside, and this time the semi-automatic is not in the case. I head downstairs, and to my surprise, the house is full. Jacob, Kara, Blake, and Smith are present.
I brought donuts,
Smith says as I join them all at the island. And I, Kara says, brought you some hair color tools. She indicates a bag on the bar that has a couple color kits, several root-only kits, and hair mascara that you can use to cover up now. Thank you very much, I say. But that isn't why all of you are here. What's going on?
We were impatient to work this new angle on Juju, Blake says, and we wanted Jacob involved.
What new angle? I ask. We're working on where to find Juju's photos. Kara says, we were already doing that, I say. Blake chimes in from where he sits on the other side of the table, with the computer in front of him.
I'm working through a history of his father and people who knew him. So you know, there is no police record at all, but he had 2 co-workers over 5 years that mysteriously died at a young age.
How? I ask. Insulin overdose for one, Kara says. Stroke for the other. Both under 30. Jacob grimaces.
We need a way to get this asshole arrested and off the streets. They have to be on his person, Smith says.
I thought that too, I say. But right now, processing where we have gone wrong, I go back to this rich man who inherited that money from the father that probably killed his mother. Now he's a drug dealer, which perhaps means he feels like he's better than his father.
Better?
Smith asks.
By dealing drugs?
Yes, I say, because he can do something that is in the cops' faces and not get caught killing.
Fuck.
Smith breathes out.
That's some fucked up shit.
It hits the right nail on the head in my mind, Kara says. I and me. In light of all we know, do you still think he's working with someone else? Yes, I do. He's too clean, too hard to catch to not have backup. Maybe, just maybe it's someone who helped his father.
Rick Savage took a team into Terrence's house last night while he was off banging some chick. Blake says he found nothing there and then went on to the club at 6 this morning and just finished up. Nothing. They checked everything, but they also uploaded databases to me. I'm going to go in and sweep the records this morning.
Asher is coming back tonight. I say, we're going to go to the club tomorrow and bait Terrence with my address. If Juju shows up at my place, we know it's Terrence. But I'm doubtful now. I really think if he has a partner, that partner is more sophisticated than Terrence. Maybe he's watching me be you, and we just don't see him. Kara says,
let's get to the office.
Blake says, shutting his computer.
We need to have the work we did yesterday in front of us.
We all pack up, and I grab the hair mascara on the way out. 15 minutes later, I'm in the conference room, working alongside the Walker clan. I have a moment where I sit at the table, listening to them argue in the best of ways to get to a solution, and I feel like I belong. This is where I'm supposed to be. Fate, Asher has said. It is fate. And just as these amazing people are going to help me stop Devin from hurting anyone else, in my heart, I believe I'm here to stop Juju from killing again. Why else would I walk into that bar, meet Asher, and attract the attention of the very killer he was hunting? I didn't come here to die. I came here to make sure no one else does.
Asher. The sun is down and the storage facility is closed for the day. Luke and I sit in the SUV we rented in the parking lot across from the storage facility, with him in the driver's seat and a laptop in my lap, the security camera feed live on the screen. Adam is dressed like a damn homeless person, his normally wild dark curls wilder than usual, his clothes ratty. The backpack on his shoulder is filled with junk and just as ratty. We have the cameras set up for our viewing and no one else's. Not that it would matter. The place has a shoddy system and crap employees. Adam climbs the fence, despite the hack that gave us the code to enter, trying to look like a dude searching for a place to sleep. He heads toward the building that is sealed by a locking door and tries to open it, failing by design. That's our plan. He moves to the next building and continues on 4 times. He finally reaches the building that is our target, which is unlocked thanks to my tech skills, and pauses to scratch his ass. Did he really just scratch his damn ass? Luke says. And we trust this man with our lives? I chuckle. If your ass itches, man, you gotta scratch it. What's wrong with you? We laugh, but there is tension in the air as we watch Adam slide open the door and it shuts behind him. I pull up the view inside the unit, keeping the exterior view open in a smaller window. Adam turns on his flashlight and then walks down the hallway. He unlocks the storage unit and we wait and wait. Fuck, any time, I say. We should have made him wear a microphone. That's dangerous if he gets cornered, Luke says. Give him another 3 minutes. He hits the timer on his watch. At 2 minutes exactly, Adam exits and shuts the door, and then does this staggering, fucked-up walk here and there that takes forever. If I didn't know better, Luke murmurs, I'd believe he was really drunk. Adam reaches the fence and falls 3 times before he gets over this time. Finally, he starts walking, continuing to stumble here and there until he goes into the McDonald's 3 blocks away where a matching backpack is waiting on him, as well as a phone. Luke thrums his fingers on the steering wheel while we wait. My phone rings, and I answer on speaker. I have the package, and it is intact. Call me when you get it. Copy that, I say. And Luke has already started the SUV. We make the drive to McDonald's. and I shut my laptop, slip the empty leather briefcase we bought at Walmart over my shoulder, and get out of the car. I walk inside the restaurant as Adam walks out, and neither of us look at each other. I scan the restaurant, spot a line, and act disgusted before walking to the bathroom. I shut the door, lock it, and quickly pull open the cabinet under the sink where the backpack waits. I pull the paperwork out of the backpack and stick it in my briefcase, and then toss the backpack back under the sink. I exit the restaurant and give the line another grimace before walking back to the SUV. I climb inside. "I have it," I say, and Luke places us in reverse and backs up. I dial Adam. "Package on board."
"I'm in my car. I got your ass."
We disconnect.
"He's got our rear," I announce.
Luke nods, and I dial Blake.
"Package on board. Prepare to receive it."
"I'm ready," he says. "And I've already wiped any record of Adam being at the unit clean."
I hang up and pull out a small camera, snapping rapid shot photos of the documents as backup. That's the mistake Sierra made. You never keep one copy of the only evidence you have, especially when that evidence can be used as protection. By the time Luke makes the turn toward the private landing strip we're flying out of, I've connected the camera to my laptop and uploaded what I have to Blake. He calls me 60 seconds later.
"Got it. All secure. Downloading and records will be secured and transitions wiped. We'll wait on you with Sierra at your place."
He hangs up and Luke and I park, leaving the rental for Adam to handle. The plane is flown by a pilot we employ and know well, who is waiting at the open door. We hurry up the ramp and we're inside, secure and taxiing in 10 minutes flat. Luke and I sit down at a booth in the back of the jet, and I set the file on the table. We both start reading, studying. And holy shit, Sierra is right. The corruption runs deep and wide. I glance at Luke. "I can't connect Sierra to this. She can't be the one who takes these people down."
"None of us can," Luke says. "If we go at this directly, we all die."
We both sit there a minute, and then suddenly turn to each other, slow smiles curving our mouths. Both of us know what the other is thinking. There are 10 ways to skin a snake, and we're going to use all 10.
Sierra. My relief that Asher and Luke have my files is short-lived when Blake and Kara seem to grow more and more tense as they read through them. By 8, Jacob leads me out of the offices and takes me to shoot, which I suspect is to give Kara and Blake space to have a meltdown over the trouble I've got them into. Jacob is quiet, too, but that isn't new. That's why they chose him to take me. He's silent. He's impenetrable. We're an hour into my practice when he gets a text. "Kara and Blake want us to meet them at your place. They'll stay with you until Asher gets back." "Is anything wrong?" "Nothing I've been told," Jacob says. I stare at him. "Are you lying?" "No." He holds up his fingers. "Scout's honor, and I really was a scout." "Then you'd better be acting like a scout." "I am," he assures me. "Asher and Luke will be here. They're safe. They've confirmed that they're on the plane and the pilot is called in." "Okay." But it doesn't feel okay. A few minutes later, we exit to the street, and I don't think I'd know if we were being followed. I know nothing but the knot in my belly. The walk is short, and we enter the apartment to have Blake meet us at the door.
"We ordered pizza,"
he says, motioning Jacob to the hallway. I grimace at the secrets and march to the kitchen table where Kara is sitting, setting my tote down on the seat. "What is going on?" "Nothing yet," she says. "We're just processing." "Right. Trying to figure out how to get me the hell out of your life. I get it. Send me to a safe house. I'll go right now." "We are not sending you away," she says. "Not now or ever." Blake re-enters the apartment.
Jacob is bringing Julie over to wait with us for Asher and Luke.
He stops at the table. Send me to a safe house, I say.
I told you, he says. We are your safe house.